Yeah. Here we go. Let's start with this story, which, given everything in sports, we didn't really get to. Former Washington football team executive has told the Washington Post that Daniel Snyder instructed employees to create a behind-the-scenes video featuring clips of partially nude team cheerleaders pulled from a 2008 swimsuit calendar shoot. The Post did a 5,500-word story detailing women who say the culture suggests that they have been objectified. Former team employee Brittany Peretti, who worked for the team from 2007 to 2012, said of the culture, quote, "It was like fresh meat to a pack of wolves every time a new pack of interns would come in. It was like a frat house with men lined up in the lobby watching women walk in and out. You constantly felt their eyes were on you." Now, the Washington football team has recently dealt with allegations that they created a toxic culture for women, but the allegations didn't quite reach up to Daniel Snyder. Now, because of this behind-the-scenes video of the cheerleaders, it seems like Snyder is part of that. John, what is Daniel Snyder's chance of surviving this?
All right, I think this comes down to a simple condition. The reason Donald Sterling was out is because the other owners wanted him out. It got to the point where he didn't have support. Roger Goodell works for the owners.
Right.
I have not heard one owner, not one NFL owner, come out against Daniel Snyder. Haven't even commented on it. Snyder's been the owner of the Redskins for 20 years. If they don't break ranks from Snyder, his chances of survival are 100%. The other owners have to want him out. Roger Goodell cannot act independently and throw him out. That's not the way it works.
So I'm not surprised that the other owners haven't made a statement. I don't think that necessarily indicates their feelings about Daniel Snyder. That just is a code of, you know, being an owner. We don't criticize each other. I don't think he's going to survive it. I think if this video exists of partially nude team cheerleaders that Daniel Snyder is in possession of, if this investigation shows that Daniel Snyder was every bit a part of this quote-unquote frat house with men lined up in the lobby watching women walk in and out, women feeling eyes on them all the time. If Daniel Snyder is part of that, I think he's done. I think he's done. And frankly, all of this stuff I've heard, I think everything should fall at the owner's doorstep. The owner is responsible for what goes on in his organization. Otherwise, he's lost institutional control. And even losing institutional control, I think, is an issue for Daniel Snyder. So I do think they're gonna. I do think he's gonna wind up being forced into a sale.
Well, there is precedent for what you're talking about. Jerry Richardson was forced out, but that's because the other owners wanted him out. Now, since the first Washington Post story, the first one, they've hired a black chief executive, first African-American chief executive in the NFL, and a female broadcast director, first broadcast director who is a woman in the NFL. And I think Snyder's going to point to that and go, look, I am changing the culture. I think it'd be in poor taste for us to bet mythical money on this, but if we could, I would bet you literally $50,000 he's still the owner of the Redskins 1 year from today.
Does it matter to you?
And I just called them the Redskins. Interesting.
Yeah. Does it matter to you that this executive, this African-American woman who's an executive now?
Well, no, those are two different. The African-American is a man. He's running it. The woman is the broadcast director.
Okay.
Julie Donaldson. She's a woman, but she's Caucasian.
The man was placed there by the NFL to help conduct this investigation. That man, that African-American man, is the NFL's idea. It's not Daniel Snyder's idea. They said, here, we want this guy to do an investigation. That's why I think there's more there. There's more there than we know so far.
Yeah. By the way, Lindsay, what do you think? A year from now, is Dan Snyder still the owner of the Washington football team?
I don't think so. I think that his name has been way too damaged, and I'd be surprised if he is by the end of the calendar year, to be honest.
By the end of 2020.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. I feel pretty strong that you guys are both wrong. But as always, we're going to find out.
Yep, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. Okay. Chicago White Sox right-hander Lucas Giolito.
Yeah.
The first no-hitter of the 2020 MLB season on Tuesday night. Giolito completely dominated the Pirates, striking out 13 batters, looked great in a 101-pitch outing. The only base runner Giolito allowed came on a fourth inning walk to Eric Gonzalez. So he was really close to a perfect game.
Yeah.
Now, nobody loves no-hitters more than you.
Yes.
Part of throwing a no-hitter is that it comes with a lot of pressure in front of a crowd.
Yes.
Your teammates don't talk to you. They leave you alone in the dugout. It's a, you know, the pressure of it means something. In your book, is this a legitimate no-hitter, or does it come kind of with an asterisk in that he did it without the pressure of a crowd?
No, it's completely a no-hitter. The pressure is internal when you're throwing a no-hitter. I always think a guy, you get into the seventh inning, guy's got a no-hitter, everybody's leaving him alone in the dugout. I think his head's going to explode. He's under so much pressure. Because as a pitcher, you know you're in the middle of history if you're into the seventh or eighth inning with a no-hitter. So, yeah, I think it's absolutely a legit no-hitter without question. The pressure is internal.
I think it's a different animal with the crowd, but there's no way I would put an asterisk on it. I think that we live in a world now where if the season's so short that if somebody hits 400, you can put an asterisk on that because of a shortened season. But for a no-hitter, for an individual game performance, it's absolutely legit. It's you.
All right. Vin Scully has decided to auction off 310 items from his personal memorabilia collection. The items include bats, balls, baseball cards, award plaques, trophies, World Series rings, the spiral-bound scorecard from his final season in 2016, among other items, a book from Theodore Roosevelt, signed by the president in 1910 and given to Scully's father, a letter from Red Barber, who recruited his fellow redhead into the Dodgers booth and mentored him, a battered and bruised scrapbook of newspaper clippings about his career from the 50s, compiled by his mother. Now, John, I know you are not a memorabilia guy, but do you make an exception for something from Vin Scully's life, the greatest broadcaster who ever lived?
Strangely, yes. I don't know why, but when you were describing that stuff, I thought that all that stuff would be incredibly cool. Like, if I had that letter, I'd frame it and put it up in my house.
No question.
The letter from Red Barber. And you're right. I'm not a memorabilia guy. I have no, if you walk through my house, you can't tell I'm a sportscaster. I just don't. And now, but here's the thing. I can't afford any of it now that it's going up for public auction.
Yeah, unfortunately, I cannot either.
But would I? Yeah. When you were describing that stuff, maybe it's just because he's a sportscaster and I'm a sportscaster. It just feels different. But that something from Vin Scully's personal collection would mean more to me. Like I'm trying to debate whether or not I do this. I don't think I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But I have a collection because of Andy Bernstein, the great photographer.
Sure.
I have a collection of pictures of me with Kobe.
Oh, that's
me interviewing him, me giving him a high five at the scores table, me hanging out with him. And when he wrote his last book, when Kobe wrote his last book, he asked me to host a Q&A with him and Andy. And so he autographed a book to me and wrote an inscription. John, thanks for all the years of sticking with me on this. Really appreciate it. You're one of my favorites, Kobe. And I've always thought I should pull that page out of the book, get one of those pictures and put something in a frame, but I haven't done it because I feel like it would be self-serving and it would make me sad every time I looked at it that Kobe's gone. So I'm not ready to do it yet, but for Vin Scully, who is like a sportscaster god, I probably would do it. That's a really good question. Yeah, I think it does make a difference.
By the way, Scully and his wife Sandra plan to use some of the auction proceeds to help their 5 children, 16 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren with expenses that include parochial school tuition. So that's why he's selling all this stuff now. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, Jeff Passan is going to join us, baseball insider for ESPN. What happened with Brody Van Wagenen in that hot mic moment yesterday? Let's get into it with Jeff next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN. ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Nason and Ireland, 710 ESPN, Friday afternoon, and sports is going to resume some level of normalcy tomorrow as there will be three NBA games played, including the Lakers, 4 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock tip here on 710 ESPN. Baseball jumped into the fray almost immediately with the Milwaukee Brewers rescheduling a game, or I guess striking a game on Wednesday night. And since then, multiple games have been canceled or postponed. And joining us right now is Jeff Passan from ESPN with the latest. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?
Fellas, how are you?
Excellent, Jeff, good. And we appreciate you making time for us. I know there's a lot of spinning plates in the world of baseball. Let me start with this. Did it surprise you how quickly that all happened? I mean, the Brewers did it, and then shortly thereafter, the Dodgers did it, and then everybody followed suit yesterday. Normally, in the world of activism, it takes some time to get the ball rolling. It was pretty quick here. Did that surprise you?
I think there were two elements of surprise. The first was just the Brewers doing it. I mean, after the Bucks said that they were not playing, and after the rest of the NBA followed suit, Josh Hader talked. And, you know, Josh Hader is a guy whose own history with racist tweets from when he was a teenager does not exactly lend him to be the sort of person you think is going to be the spokesman for something like this. But the idea that we can grow, that we can evolve, that we can learn, I love that Josh Hader was the first person to address the possibility of the Brewers postponing a game and sitting out. And when he said it, I texted with a bunch of people and all of us agreed, there's no way this is going to happen. It's Major League Baseball. They don't take stands on racial injustice. They don't take stands on police brutality. They don't do this. That's not baseball style. Well, they did it. And then the Los Angeles Dodgers did it. And they didn't just do it. The fashion in which they did it, guys, to me, was so illustrative of how this can and should work. Mookie Betts, who's a black man, said, I don't want to play. The rest of his teammates, spurred on by Clayton Kershaw, stood beside him and said, if you're not playing, then we're not playing. Clayton Kershaw, who is from Texas, who is from a very conservative area, came out and said, who am I, essentially, if I don't stand by my black brother? For a person of Clayton Kershaw's stature, not just as a Hall of Fame player, but widely regarded as a Hall of Fame human being as well, to do that, to be an ally in that moment, I think that honestly embarrassed the teams around the sport that didn't do the same. The Colorado Rockies, the Chicago Cubs, the St. Louis Cardinals, who had black players sit out and did not sit out alongside them. So while it surprised me, the second surprise was just how many teams yesterday sat out and postponed games, guys. Mm-hmm. But I think that when I step back and really think about it, that was bound to happen because of the power of what happened on Wednesday with the Brewers and with the Dodgers and with Dominic Smith being brought to tears. Like, this is real stuff here. And as much as baseball is institutionalized in the way that it handles its business, I think we're at an inflection point right now. And I think we're finally at a place where baseball players are starting to recognize some of the same things that basketball players started to recognize 5 years ago about the importance of really owning your platform and using it for good.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, as a baseball fan, I'm a baseball first guy. As a baseball fan, I was really proud of what went down with teams across Major League Baseball and continued to in the last couple of days. Let me ask you a question about my favorite guy of the day. That's Brody Van Wagenen.
Mine too.
Who said what was on everybody's mind and caught on a hot mic. Describe that situation.
It was pretty Mets. That's a better way to describe it than that. For those who didn't see, Brody Van Wagenen is the Mets GM. Was an agent at CAA for a long time, and has not had the most distinguished tenure so far. The Mets have been disappointing and have struggled, and so he and a couple others, it sounds like, are in a Zoom room and talking about what the Mets are going to do that night because the players don't want to play. And he says the best, I don't know if the best part, there's so many best parts of it. My like sneaky favorite part is when he says, hey, just the three of us talking as this thing is being like broadcast out over the internet. And goes on to say essentially that Rob Manfred is a terrible leader. because he had come up with a plan that the Mets were going to go out onto the field, walk back into the dugout, and then come back out and play their game against the Marlins. And Brody Van Wagenen did not like that idea. Well, this gets blasted out, and Rob Manfred presumably is livid enough where Brody Van Wagenen apologizes. Rob Manfred comes out and says, no, it was not me who wanted to do that. And Jeff Wilpon, the Mets COO, claims responsibility for that idea. And Fred Wilpon, the Mets owner, essentially says Brody Van Wagenen sucks, Rob Manfred rules, and misspelled Brody Van Wagenen's name. Like, that was... the whole thing was so unbelievably comedic. Like, the cherry on top was Brody Van Wagenen's first name being misspelled by his owner, the franchise he runs owner, and the COO. Essentially, both of them have such little respect for their general manager or for his actions that day, which, as you said, aligned with the thoughts of a not insignificant number of people inside of baseball. That they didn't even take the time or effort to spell his name correctly while completely neutering him.
Yeah,
it was absolutely glorious, and only the Mets, man. Only the Mets.
Yeah, you did a great job of summarizing that. You're right. It was so great. All right, so Jeff, and we're talking to Jeff Passan from ESPN. A lot of baseball reporters, including you, have speculated about a potential playoff bubble. Where are we at with that? How realistic do you think that is, and how would it work?
I think it's happening. It's just not official yet. Where we're at in the process is that players are mulling over the idea right now, though the reality is that a playoff bubble can be instituted without their approval and is going to be, because I think we see the success of the NBA. We see the success of the NHL. And while Major League Baseball has had zero positive cases in the last week among players, which is a great sign. It also is something where we know now if you have one or two positive cases, you're missing games. And there is no time in the playoffs to miss games. Just can't afford to do that. So the plan as it is currently outlined, they've discussed four different areas to hold potential bubbles. Southern California, which has been my favorite, certainly, from the start, mainly because I want to spend time in San Diego and L.A.,
sure.
But also Texas, the New York metropolitan area, and Chicago and Milwaukee. It looks right now like Texas and California are going to be the choices. And I don't know if that means games at Dodger Stadium and Petco Park. I would assume, because the plan right now is to do American League games, that you're going to have those neutral sites potentially, but the fact is the Angels probably aren't making the playoffs, so you could potentially have games at Angel Stadium too. And the National League would go to Houston and Arlington, I believe, after the wild card round, which, remember, has 16 teams this year. They would hone in on one site. I don't know which that's going to be in the Southern California.
So, hey, Jeff, let me jump in on that for a second. So that's interesting. You think they would, like, for example, we're pretty sure that the Dodgers are going to be in the playoffs. You think they would send them to Texas?
I think they would send them to Texas. Absolutely.
rather just to because in a pandemic, you would think they'd want to minimize travel, but would that be seen as giving him too much of an advantage to let him play in Southern California?
Yeah, I think that's probably part of it. I think it's also the potential for distraction. Like, the truth is, when you're on the road, away from your family,
yeah, good point.
People who you really do, and families, I don't think, you know, they're discussing that right now. There have been conversations about letting families in for the league championship series or letting families in for the World Series. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to look like with fans being let in. I don't think that's going to happen in the early rounds. I'd be surprised if it happens in the late rounds, but I'm not entirely discounting it. The idea would be, I believe, to go down to one site for the division series, the LCS, and then have the World Series in just one place. And I believe Arlington, Texas, at this point, is the likeliest. Not saying that it's going to happen there, but if I were a guessing man, that's where I would put my money.
Jeff Passan from ESPN is with us. So the Dodgers have the best record in baseball. Their run differential is
stupid.
Two times is double anybody else's yep. run differential in the game. They are so friggin' good. Can anybody beat the Dodgers?
Yeah, of course. The reality, guys, is anybody can beat the Dodgers because in the first round this year, in the wild
yeah, what a
round,
what a garbage. Are you a fan of that, by the way? The three-game series thing?
Let me tell you something. I love the fact that ESPN gets to televise 7 out of 8 wild card series. So I would never say anything bad about the idea that the best team in baseball could get knocked out by an inferior team because baseball is such a large sample game and that is such a small sample series. I would never say anything against the format like that and how it could be construed as completely ridiculous and unfair to a team that was head and shoulders better than every other team in baseball. I would not say that.
All that stuff you would not say, I will. I think it increases the randomization of who actually advances in the playoffs
let's put it this way, guys. I think the greatest threat to the Dodgers is not whatever team they face in the World Series, it's whatever team they face in the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
I think the longer the series get, the better the chances the Dodgers end up winning because I think they are that much better than every other team out there. Now, look, that changes with an injury, you know?
Sure.
I'm knocking on all kinds of wood right now. If Walker Buehler gets hurt, if Clayton Kershaw gets hurt, if Dustin May gets hurt, if starting pitchers start getting hurt, I as good as their bullpen has been, and it's been spectacular, you want those horses in the playoffs, especially if it's going to be a condensed schedule, which it can be because they're going to be playing in one specific area. Like, you don't have to take travel days.
Yeah, I never thought I would say this because they've had so much depth, but starting pitching is the one question mark for them. Arias has not been right.
The fact that they don't have room in their rotation for a guy who hasn't given up a run in 3 outings this year, it's unbelievable. Like, I mean, Tony Gonsolin would be in the middle of every other rotation in baseball. He can't
crack
the Dodgers.
Yep, he would. Jeff, we appreciate you coming on very much. I know it's really busy right now, but great perspective as always. Nice talking to you and hope you come back soon.
Thank you, gentlemen. I hope so as well.
Thank you, Jeff. Be safe.
We've really healed that divide, haven't we?
Yeah.
I like Jeff.
I don't know if it was ever a huge divide. It was a misunderstanding. Here's what happened. He was on with us. He had a breaking story. He said, boys, can I call you right back? And he never called us back, and Mason got offended.
Actually, do we have the actual audio of him saying that?
I don't know. I think Funchess would. I don't know if
no. Jorge we have it. I think Jorge's probably just getting Jeff off the phone.
Okay,
thank you.
Got it.
Talk to you later. But I was going to have him play it while Jeff was on the phone, but that's okay. We'll save it for next time.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. We now know that the Lakers will resume their playoff run tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tip and 4 o'clock pregame right here on 710 ESPN. Basically, all the games that were scheduled for Wednesday, Orlando with Milwaukee, Houston with OKC, and the Lakers with Portland, they've basically all been moved to Saturday. Then the Thursday games moved to Sunday, and so on, is the way it looks like it's going to turn out. John, I want to play something for you from Stephen A. Smith. This was from First Take. It may put you in a slightly difficult situation, but I'm going to play
all right,
it
good.
Anyway.
Let's hear it.
And see how you wiggle through this.
Okay, good.
Here's Stephen A. Smith on LeBron James and the meeting that went on Wednesday night. Up, hanging on, holding on for just a minute as Jorge locates that particular clip. We'll also let you know that the Lakers have a media availability right now, and as soon as that's over, we will bring you some of what the Lakers players and I assume Frank Vogel will say during their availability today. Okay, do we have Stephen A.?
I heard, first of all, he was speaking out of pocket and was talking to the players in a fashion that really turned some of the young some of these young cats off. This is a new day. It's a new generation. And as we have said in previous shows, when cats were out in the street protesting and things of that nature, just talking about the younger generation, they're not having it anymore. Well, guess what? The younger generation of players were not having what they were hearing from LeBron James because the fashion in which he spoke to them. So when he stormed out of there, I was told it was in part because of that. And he sort of came off like, I got mine, I don't need this, and walked out. Now, we later learned that the Lakers and the Clippers were the two teams that did not want to participate while the other 28 teams were willing to go forward. So fast forward from Wednesday, Max, to Thursday, meaning yesterday, they have a meeting. It's at least two players from each team that's in the playoffs, all right? In the case of the Lakers, I was told there were four guys, okay? There was an owner on the call from each team that was there, each team that's in the playoffs. An owner, of course, Michael Jordan was on the call, even though his team wasn't there because he's the chairman of the Labor Relations Committee. And Adam Silver led the call. And, of course, Michelle Roberts did most of the talking from what I was told. Well, LeBron James, or when everybody thought the meeting was over, LeBron James grabs the mic. And from what I'm told, talks for about 15 minutes. And he's talking about 15 minutes in a fashion that turned everybody off because they had already agreed to what they were going to do moving forward. And he was talking about, quote, the guys beneath me. I have to look out for the guys beneath me. To the point where you had people saying, what the hell you mean beneath you? Now, they didn't say that to him, but they certainly said it to people like myself, Woj, and others who are covering that meeting. He came across as if he was the king with some crown.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't really even need to wiggle. I've got several thoughts on this. All right. Here's the first one. Here's the first one. We need to hear from LeBron.
Sure.
Because the stuff that's coming out of these meetings, I can't tell what really happened. For example, Patrick Beverley, it was reported by good reporters, guys like Chris Haynes, interrupted Michelle Roberts when she was laying out the economic situation that would happen if the players decided not to play. She was saying, here's what it would cost you, which is her job. She's the head of the Player Association. And Beverley interrupted her, and she said, can I finish? And he said, no, I pay your salary. You know, that's pretty confrontational.
Okay, so Beverley,
let me finish. Ivica Zubac came out today and said, I was in the meeting. It never happened. I don't know how that story even was hatched. It just didn't happen. So who do you believe? Do you believe Zubats, or do you believe Chris Haynes?
Yeah, here's Pat Beverly talking today during the Clippers availability about the exchange with Michelle Roberts in that meeting.
He had a very interesting...
That was the topic.
We had a very interesting conversation. The PA is like a family. And I'm pretty sure everyone here, you know, the camera's pointing to me, hey, everyone's a part of a family. You don't always agree with your family members, and that's okay. You communicated about it, and you try to make it better. And whatever the dialogue was, or whatever you guys think it is, we made things better yesterday, meeting with the owners, and that's the most important.
So he doesn't address specifically right. Michelle Roberts, just says they had an interesting conversation.
Yeah, so we don't know exactly what happened. And so I'll be anxious to hear when LeBron talks. I assume it'll either be this afternoon or tomorrow after the game. If you're just joining us, the Lakers are going to play at 6 o'clock tomorrow night in the bubble, and then LeBron will talk after. And so I think we have to wait until we hear what LeBron's version of that Stephen A. story is, because I'm sure he'll get asked about it. But in terms of him, of LeBron, of these players being offended, if Stephen A. is right, and these players were offended because he talked down to them, nobody has done more with his platform than LeBron.
Sure.
They should be listening. LeBron has a school. LeBron, you know, has turned around through his companies. He's doing more to improve voting than anybody. LeBron started more than an athlete. If LeBron was talking to me, I'd be listening, and I wouldn't be, you know, he's done more than anybody with this platform. So that's weird if what Stephen A. is reporting is true, that they would be offended by LeBron. LeBron is like the example you'd want to follow.
Right. The other one of the versions of the story has that LeBron at one point in the meeting says, I'm out of here. The Clippers go out. The Lakers go out. One Laker stays. Dwight Howard stays in the meeting for whatever reason. Dwight Howard stayed there for the rest of the meeting. But the Clippers have said, multiple Clippers have said, they thought it was over. They thought when they walked out and LeBron walked out that you can't have the NBA playoffs without Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James.
Right.
It was going to be over. And it was the next morning when people came to their senses and decided, all right, our spotlight is valuable. Let's use our spotlight. Let's use our influence. Let's use our personal will to try to create change. But there was a point there, and John, you and I were texting that night, and it sounded like it was off. Sounded like the playoffs were over.
Shams was reporting that the Lakers and Clippers looked like they were out, but it all reversed.
Yes,
it seems to me though that. If you listen to all these different reports of what came out, at the end of the day, the players kind of got a ton done.
Sure.
Like we were saying off the top of the show, they've moved mountains in the last 48 hours. So however it played out, I think they maximized their power and did the most with it. But I'll be anxious to hear what LeBron has to say when he gets his chance to give his version of events, because he's normally a pretty calculated guy. I'd be surprised if that level of dislike is actually true.
The one thing that surprises me about, and they created a really good initiative establishing a social justice coalition with players, coaches, and governors, owners. In every city where the league franchise owns and controls the arena property, team governors will continue to work to make those voting locations, and the league will work with players and network partners to create and include advertising spots in every NBA game dedicated to promoting greater civic engagement in national and local elections. What I'm surprised at is that they didn't raise the George Floyd police reform bill, which was passed through the House and hasn't been taken up in the Senate. That would include holding police officers personally liable for damages and lawsuits, ban no-knock warrants, halt the flow of military equipment to police departments, ban chokeholds as a means of restraint, and annual training for police officers. I really thought, and I heard somebody mention this today, I can't think who, but this to me is another way that they could raise awareness for this, because there is a chance for real, meaningful police reform And there's already a bill to do it.
Well, just because they haven't done it yet doesn't mean they won't. There's
Correct.
Still several rounds left of the playoffs. We'll see.
Yep. All right, coming up next for you. We didn't do this the last couple of days because they were more serious shows, but today we're going to do some dumb stuff. Lindsay, you got some dumb stuff in there?
I always have dumb stuff.
Good. She leads the league in dumb stuff, and she will give us Radio Tinder next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
3:15 today. We are going to give you a shot to win a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. We've got our five-question quiz from all the stuff we said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and something we say today. All going to be on the quiz. If you can answer all five questions, you get a $100 gas card, and you get a key that could start a brand new Mazda CX-30. And this is the important thing. If you win that key, you have a 25% chance of winning the car. There are only going to be four keys. So good luck. If you haven't been listening, you have no chance to win. None. It is a really hard quiz. Last week we decided it was too easy. This week we made it really hard. So we'll find out exactly how that goes. Lakers have their media availability going on right now. Danny Green has spoken. We'll bring you some of that coming up for you at 3 o'clock. In the meantime, it is Radio Tinder time. Oh, this connection with our producer, Lindsay, who brings us Radio Tinder every day. Linz, what do you got?
All right, so we have an update on the Bella Thorne OnlyFans saga. So you guys just stay with me here throughout this, okay?
Staying with you.
So last we heard, she was making $1 million a day from putting her pictures behind a paywall on OnlyFans, right? As it turns out, she was telling people included in the subscription that there would be nudes included if you paid $200 for an OnlyFans pay-per-view, meaning on top of the subscription price they're already paying, they'd have to pay another $200 for an in-app pay-per-view.
Right.
Okay, then of course, after getting $200 from thousands of subscribers, it turned out her pay-per-view wasn't nude after all, causing a ripple effect throughout the entire OnlyFans community. So many people requested refunds that it completely changed the economy of OnlyFans. Mm. As of today, they had to reduce their maximum price of pay-per-views to $50, limited the amount you can tip in the app to $100, and payout wait times have gone from 7 days to 30 days. After lying and scamming a bunch of pervs and screwing over people who really rely, there's a lot of people who actually rely on OnlyFans for their sole income.
Yep.
Do you think that it's time to cancel Bella Thorne, as the internet is now calling for? Swipe left or swipe right?
I swipe left. I hate cancel culture. I want to try to never cancel anybody. But Lindsay, tell me this: has she been kicked off of OnlyFans?
I haven't seen anything about her getting kicked off.
I think they should cancel her from OnlyFans. I think that she pulled a bait and switch.
Oh, I mean, I think they should criminally prosecute her. She stole money. For all intents and purposes, stole money.
But they gave it back.
No. The OnlyFans is refunding people. But I guess the reason why they made all of these changes is because they can't cover the loss that they have. She still has her money. As of today, as of what's going on, they're not taking the money from her.
She should give all that money back.
And charge with fraud.
She totally should.
Yeah, and charge her with fraud. I don't want to cancel her. I want to arrest her.
Wait a minute. So what fraud?
But can you do that? I don't know if she broke a law,
Lindsay, do you have? Yeah,
she took money, leading people to believe that she was going to do sexy stuff on her OnlyFans page.
Lindsay,
and then she didn't do
it. How did she phrase it? When did she say naked or nude photos were coming, or did she
100%? There's actually a bar.
She spells it out that black and white.
Yes, there's a Barstool story that has screenshots included in it where she posted the thing that, you know, the advertisement on her subscription that says unlock for $200. And there's exchanges with users that ask naked, naked. And she replies, yes, naked. And then people say how naked is the question for $200. And she writes no clothes naked.
And she didn't even try and outsmart it by doing like ESPN, the body issue type naked poses. She didn't do that because that's how she could get around this. If you guys have ever seen ESPN, the body issue, all those people are naked, but none of it, you know, it's all rated R. You know, none of it is X rated. You don't see
right.
any. That's how she.
If she led people to believe that if they paid the whatever it is, $50 to see her naked, and then she didn't do anything naked, that is fraud. She needs to give all the money back, and she needs to be criminally prosecuted.
Or Mace, why doesn't she just get the guy who shoots the ESPN body issue to come shoot her that way?
Yeah, that's another idea.
By
the way, the only people I know that do OnlyFans are porno people.
So, no,
like porno
not true.
People do thrive on OnlyFans.
Lindsay, do you subscribe to anybody's OnlyFans account?
No. But like I said, I've seen a lot of stuff recently since I read this initial story, like Cardi B, and there's other famous people who use it as a way to interact with their fans. Or they have people that, you know, have like foot fetishes or other things that aren't necessarily.
Rex Ryan's on there?
I don't know. Maybe he is. You never know. But apparently people have their things and they request certain things that are not necessarily nudity, and people will pay a lot of money to see famous people or celebrities or whatever to send them these pictures. So I don't know. I actually think
Mason's right. If she did absolutely do what, if she laid it out that way and then took the money and provided no naked pictures, I think a good lawyer could make a pretty good fraud case.
Absolutely. Class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
I'll keep you posted on how it turns out. All right, a company named Haunted Happenings is offering people the chance to spend the night ghost hunting at a Newsham Park Hospital in Liverpool. The building dates back to Victorian times, and over the years, it's been used as many different things, including an orphanage, a psychiatric hospital, and a nursing home. So basically, a lot of people have died there. Haunted Happenings website says, quote, during our overnight ghost hunts here, there have been numerous reports of paranormal activity. Distant voices have been heard from within empty buildings. Shadowy figures have been seen darting down the stairwells. Mm. And, you know, you have to pay $92 to spend the night in this haunted hospital. Would you guys pay to spend the night?
Is it open in during COVID?
Yeah, it's open right now.
COVID
aside, would you pay?
COVID aside, is that something that you're interested in?
Night,
I guess is
the
question.
In a haunted hospital.
Well, do you guys believe in ghosts?
Yes.
I believe there are places. Jorge, you do not.
No, I just think it's like the old house. It's a house that is old. It cracks. It's normal.
Right.
I am
totally 100% with Jorge.
Yeah, me too.
I think ghosts, I don't believe. I mean,
you don't believe in ghosts, John?
I don't. I've stayed at the Haunted Hotel in Oklahoma City for many years. I keep going to sleep excited that I'm going to see a ghost, and it never happens.
Have you ever stayed at the Haunted Hotel in Oakland?
Yes.
No.
Michael claims in that hotel they stole his wine.
is that the hotel where they stole his wine?
In Oakland, yeah. But I've been there. That hotel, it has like kind of a shining look to it.
Yeah.
It's like old school. We've stayed there many times. It's actually kind of in the Berkeley area, and so it looks like from the outside that you might get a ghost. Nothing, Lindsay. I've probably spent 10 nights there. Nothing.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of stories though of athletes who have ghost encounters at that hotel.
Let
Michael
me throw something at you. And
they
tell
stole
me
his wine. Swears
tell me if you
it.
Tell me if you believe this.
It.
So I one night my lights started flickering. And then burned out. Mm. And I got a call the next day saying that my grandmother had passed away. Now, do you think the lights flickering had anything to do with my grandmother passing away?
No.
Yeah?
No.
You don't think she was sending me a message?
I do not. And by the way, every haunted hotel that I've heard, like the hotel we used to stay in Milwaukee, they said it was haunted. There's all these stories about it. Never seen a ghost. Oklahoma City, they say it's the most haunted hotel in the league. Never seen a ghost. That one in Oakland, never seen it. And I'm looking for it. I'm putting it out there. Come on, ghosts. Show up. I want to see it. Nothing. Bill Simmons said they got up in the middle of the night and turned on his TV and stole his blanket at the one
at that hotel?
At Oklahoma City, yeah.
I believe it.
And Michael, well, you could put Michael on a lie detector, Michael Thompson, and he will tell you that a ghost stole his wine in Oakland. I actually think it was Trudell, and he's just not telling Michael. But it is. Michael believes that a ghost stole his wine.
All right, Lynch, you got one more?
All right, last one here, guys. Internet stars Bryce Hall and Blake Gray have been charged for throwing, quote, mega parties amid the coronavirus pandemic. Hall, who's 21, and Gray, who's 19, share a rented home in the Hollywood Hills. The house parties, according to L.A. attorney Mike Fuhrer, are in direct violation of the city's ban on large gatherings due to coronavirus. Do you agree that these, quote, influencers deserve to be criminally charged for having parties right now? Swipe left or swipe right?
I think swipe right.
Swipe right. Absolutely should.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly the problem is if they have a giant corona party, and let's say everybody there,
especially if they call it a corona party,
yeah, and everybody there gets the virus, then those people may go out into the world, and the rest of us are affected by it. So if you can't follow the rules, you got to lock them up.
Plus, aren't these Paul kids annoying as hell? Is this Logan Paul and
No, these are two different guys. This is
not Jake
Bryce
Paul.
Bryce Hall and Blake Gray.
Oh,
I've got
thousands of followers, so I'm going to throw a house party and break all the rules and get a bunch of people sick at a corona party. I say that's criminal. Lock them up. I don't think lock them up. Cut the power. What do you think about that?
Well, that's something I guess they're doing out there in California, right?
Just cut the power.
And cutting the water supply, which people are going to party in candlelight then, right? They're going to party during coronavirus.
Yeah, they're going to party.
Electricity going to stop them, you know?
They're going to party.
Can I add some breaking news?
Yeah, please.
It's not good.
What?
Mavericks just issued a statement that Kristaps Porzingis has a torn meniscus and is out for the rest of the playoffs.
Oh.
Which
way
means,
to put a burden on our Friday.
Yeah, which means that
the Clippers,
who have a 3-2 edge in that series,
will probably advance. Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. Because they are fun to watch together. That's too bad. So the Clippers, by the way, play Sunday. The Lakers play tomorrow, 4 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock tip, as basketball returns after just a crazy and unprecedented week. Coming up next for you, I think we've got some sound from the Lakers media availability coming up for you. They spoke down in Orlando. At 3:15 is our five-question quiz with a chance to win a 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson. At 3:30, Bruce Feldman is going to join us. We'll talk about the state of college football. And at 3:45 is Game of Games. Before we get to crosstalk with LZ and George, it is an absolutely action-packed hour to wrap up the week on Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.